Hey, I'm Savin Gavia, and you are now listening to Can a Player Play live every Sunday at 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Make sure you check out these good fellas at www.facebook.com/playerology. And also, make sure to get your copy of the new book entitled Who Is She and What Is She to You on Amazon or worldmovement.com. Can a Player Play? Oh, pretty Tony. Put in a... I'm on it as you squeeze me like you need me. It's literal that you succeed because you got my knees weak. I'm ready for whatever, baby, don't tease me. I need it like a gift today, continue as you please me. I'm here to testify you all that I got. Let's make it happen while I wait now, leaving them now.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is K. Diddy, your host for Can a Player Play. Today, we have a great show lined up, scheduled for you. Today we'll have part three, Banking Bad in America. What are we going to do with this country? What are we going to do with our lending institutions? Today we're going to have Matthew Murray be joining us and his family and other special guests to talk about this very detrimental thing that's going on in our country. May I ask who's calling? 260, who do we have here?
Yes, this is Matt Murray calling. How are you?
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for joining us and welcome to the show. Hello, Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Can you hear me all right?
Glad you were able to join us today.
My pleasure.
I don't even know how to start this one. I guess this is a situation that's actually plaguing a lot of people in our country. And
yes.
I'm kind of wondering, really, is our government just turning a deaf ear on this situation, or what's really going on?
Well, in my opinion, the government has to be complicit with what's going on with the banks, or it wouldn't be allowed to continue. We have talked to so many representatives, congressmen, senators, people that are even saying that they're actively, you know, fighting for this cause to keep homeowners in their homes, to give them a fair shake, and we're really not getting any kind of response that we would like to see. You know, if I can just share kind of what's going on in Michigan, because I think it exemplifies what's going on in the country. We're seeing that literally the courts are handing over houses that are not even legitimately owned by these banks. And in our particular case, certainly, the bank that was the foreclosing bank didn't even exist at the time. It finally ended up that Bank of America was handling the eviction and the foreclosure, but they're nowhere listed in our case anywhere. And this is so typical. If you were to talk to our attorney, she would tell you that there's a lot of foreclosures and houses that are being handed back to banks where the trust that they're supposedly in don't even exist, and we have the FCC verifying that through notarized copies. So, yeah, I think you hit it, the nail right on the head. Really, our representatives aren't doing anything. We have really corrupt courts that are not complying with the law. In our particular case, we had 60, 70 pages probably of black letter law, which is, you know, case law that was stated in our case, and still the judge pretty much ignored it and threw it out.
You were on the state level. You weren't on the federal level, were you?
We were on the state level. Mm-hmm. Because in most cases, and I'm not saying that you can't get a foreclosure into a federal level, but in most cases, those are handled by state, and particularly in Michigan, they say, it's stated in the law that this has to be handled on a state level unless you can find federal violations, and certainly there are many cases of federal violations, and certainly Bank of America is not a state bank, so, you know, but since they weren't mentioned in the case, it made it very difficult.
Right. Hold on, Mr. Murray, we have somebody else who would like to join the call here.
Sure.
760, you're on live with Can a Player Play. You're on. Who's speaking?
Yeah. Yes, my name is Heidi. I'm calling from California. I would love to join in.
Welcome to the show, Heidi. We're on live with Matthew Murray, the gentleman that lost his home in an illegal foreclosure. Would you like to add something to that?
You know, actually, I would. I completely agree with a lot of the things that were just stated. The courts are an issue. The chance of you getting a fair chance in court is sometimes seemingly limited. But I'm actually a woman that has gone to court, that has obtained a temporary restraining order, and has also returned to court and obtained a preliminary injunction against a national bank.
Wow.
Without an attorney. Because one of the things a lot of people don't realize is that when you are struggling against a wrongful foreclosure, the reason these banks are able to normally take your house is because they know you don't have the funds to fight them. And that's where it starts. You have to get yourself into the position that you have to find a way into the court and be able to fight the banks and get through the challenges that were just mentioned, because we definitely have a court system that is against us, and if we're not empowered, it makes it nearly impossible to get through.
Well, let me ask you a question, because it seemed like that you're very knowledgeable on this process, but let me jump back to Matthew real quickly. Where is your case at this juncture? I mean, are you still fighting with them, or where are you stand right now?
Well, actually, we were evicted on May 14, 2013. Everything was in our favor legally. In fact, the judge even said that there were laws that may have been supporting the Murrays, but he felt that it was more important to clear up the foreclosure debacle. In our situation, we are doing some other things. I can't really discuss a lot of it right now, but I will say that we were never offered making houses affordable, even though we had letters from Bank of America stating that we want to help you, we're open to helping you. Every time we would call them, then they would say, we can't help you. This isn't litigation. In fact, this seems to be kind of a stonewalling tactic that they're using now, is to say that a lot of these cases are in litigation when they're not. I would venture to say that if you called Bank of America today, they would still say that. We know at least as of about 2.5 weeks ago when we made a phone call to them that that is exactly what they said. This is in litigation. We can't do anything about it. And we told them over and over. We sent them proof and that kind of thing and documentation, but they're still what happens is they're supposed to send that to their litigation department. Their litigation department is supposed to contact their attorney, and their attorney is supposed to lift that. So we believe that a lot of this goes even back, in this particular case, to their attorney who is representing them.
Seems like that's a pat answer that Bank of America have, is that we're in litigation, but it seems like if they would do something to take you out of litigation, which is totally in their control, then it wouldn't be any litigation, and then the conversation could move forward. So,
right.
260, do you have some, I'm sorry, 760, Heidi, I believe it was, do you have something you'd like to add on that subject?
Yeah, I absolutely do, because what you end up with as a homeowner is you end up with a catch-22. Because when you're just realizing that you're running into trouble financially, either from your changes in your financial income or any type of trouble that you're running into, when you reach out and ask these banks for help and you're not behind yet, they have no answer for you. They have no assistance for you because you're not in trouble yet. When you get into foreclosure, you're in the catch-22 because now they don't want to help you. And even if they decide that they'll help you, as soon as your home forecloses, you're facing an additional $3,000 to $5,000 in foreclosure fees just to pull it out. So it's an unfair catch-22 that the homeowner is intentionally put in.
What happens when they cause a foreclosure? Like in a lot of instances, they've pretty much told the homeowners that we cannot help you because you're not delinquent, so you must become delinquent in order to even qualify for the modification.
And that is exactly what I'm referring to as far as a catch-22. What we need to do as homeowners is we have to go through self-empowerment. Because a lot of times these banks will put you in the position to where if you go through the trust me factor, you will end up without a home. They will say trust me to where if you go into foreclosure, then we can help you. Trust me doesn't work with banks that you cannot trust. And that's how I made it through the court system as far as I made it, because I finally realized there is no one that you can trust. There is no one that you can depend on other than yourself.
You're absolutely correct. And let me interject if you don't mind. One of the things that is very difficult in Michigan is that even if you have law to support you, even if you're doing a pro se and you're representing yourself, you can still run into a problem where you've got judges that are not going to uphold the law. And what I really believe is going to happen in a lot of these states, particularly Michigan, is we're going to have some kind of administrative involvement outside of the state, outside of the Bar Association, because those are just good old boys protecting themselves. And so even if you call a judge on it or call an attorney on it, if you don't have somebody above them that is going to hold them accountable, you're still going to be in a catch-22 situation like you just said. So I think what we're going to have to really things need to change outside the system. And unfortunately, it's still the system, but at least it's somebody other on a federal level that can maybe have an administrative involvement that up until now has not happened. And we need to see that.
Yeah, I think that was very...
Can I inject? Because I have something very important to inject right here.
Go ahead.
Now,
go ahead.
You bring up an excellent point, and it has started. Let me say that, because there are laws trickling down that are meant to protect the homeowner. As of January 1st, 2013 this year, there is a homeowner's bill of rights for homeowners in which there are laws that basically say, in a nutshell, homeowners, you are no longer too small to win. And banks, you are no longer too big to lose. There are laws that are charging these banks money and charging them to pay your attorney's fees if they are caught wrongfully foreclosing your home. The problem that we have, and the reason that what you just said is so important, is that most of the time when you're in foreclosure, you cannot afford to pay an attorney to fight for you. So basically, what good does a law do us if we are locked outside of the court? There needs to be a process to where instead of these cases are getting thrown out on bullshit or, like he said, good old boys clubs, there needs to be a process where the President of the United States enacts bills to where we go through to a different court or a different regulator over these wrongful foreclosures. Because why should these wrongful foreclosures be able to get into court and then be able to be thrown out on technicalities or blatantly thrown out because judges throw them out or like the gentleman said earlier,
they have stocks in Bank of America.
And that's the point. However, when I was talking earlier about self-empowerment, it has to become blatant. It has to become strong enough when you turn in your complaint that it is blatant. When I wrote my complaint, it was blatant, and I didn't just hit them with one law that was violated. It was again and again and again, law after law after law, to where it became hard to just kick it out. I also will interject that I believe that state court is a much better court to begin in than trying to get through federal court as well.
Wow. Yeah, I guess the problem I'm still seeing is what we're going to do with these governing bodies. You still say that their law's been put in place, but then a lot of these judges that are sitting on the benches, they haven't been recusing themselves. I guess that's the proper word for it. They haven't been stepping off these cases because they have other interests or other business with Bank of America.
Well, and I have very good friends say to me, you know, crime doesn't pay unless, depending on which side of the bench you're sitting on. And, you know, it's a really true statement because what we're seeing these banks do is really organized crime. And that's what has to be exposed. Now, and I appreciate what you're saying as far as empowering the individual. I think we all need to do that and realize that we can't be afraid. Fear is what is keeping a lot of people from fighting this, whether they are representative or whether they do it themselves. One thing I do want to add is that we've got a lot of attorneys that are finally starting to see the light, and we had a very good attorney. She was excellent. And in fact, I was just rereading her transcripts the other day, and I thought she did everything dead on, but the judge ignored it. And where that comes back to is a lot of these attorneys, when they are appealing cases, they are, I've just forgotten the word, but they're actually being sanctioned, where unfortunately you can have a legitimate appeal to the next court up, and the judge will say, if you appeal this, I will sanction you. Now, how can they get by with that? That is not even legal, from my understanding, and yet it's being done every day to these judges. And I'll let you go ahead and answer that, too.
You know, if you were referring to me, my name is Heidi. If you're referring to me, I can follow and I can empathize with exactly what you're saying because I went through some of the same things. But I still think that it goes back to, like, for instance, the last week's show had to do with the president. Well, if the president is in there not doing anything, this is what I have to say. If the president has a boulder that he has to move, you have to get – somebody else has to help him move it. You can't just expect one person or one body or one governing body to move and work miracles. The more people that get inside of these courts and save their homes, then the fight becomes easier because it's like any other fight of injustice. When we were fighting for civil rights, how many marches? It wasn't just one march. How many marches before we finally saw a breakthrough? It's going to be the same process for wrongful foreclosure. We have to keep fighting, and we have to let people know. Because I think a lot of homeowners give up too soon, and they stop fighting because the odds are so hard. But the problem is you have to keep fighting. And we have to, as a group, keep pushing and saying, we're not going to accept it. This is unjust. This is not right. We're not going to accept it as a group. And that's where you see the breakthroughs. Because when you when you have one homeowner here and you have a homeowner like yourself who is in court and then the door is shut wrongfully and the judge basically says, I'm going to turn away and pretend like I didn't see that law being broken, it doesn't get high enough up the chain of command to make a difference. But if we take your case and we take cases like my case and we keep putting them together and we empower homeowners to say, look, we can't guarantee that every fight you're going to win, but we can guarantee that if you don't fight, you only have a loss waiting for you. That's when the breakthroughs are going to come.
Well, and you make a really good point, Heidi. One of the things that people need to be is educated. And the more that we add numbers to this fight, the harder it is going to be to get people out illegally and wrongfully. One of the things that we have run into is people simply don't believe it. We have been all the way through to the state Supreme Court. The responses that we got back from both the appeals court and the Supreme Court were, we're not inclined to hear this. And I'm thinking, what? You're not inclined to hear what? We have a legal right to be heard. And what we have found out, and I never would have believed it until we had been through this, because I was taught, oh, you know, just trust the courts. You always get a fair shake. And I'm realizing that justice goes to the highest bidder in most cases, unless what you just said, people are educated enough to know what's happening, and they get angry enough to do something about it. And that's what we're trying to do, is make more people aware of it. We're running into friends and family who have literally turned their back on us because they're going, well, you must have done something wrong, because we know that the court systems usually are honest and the banks are usually honest. Sorry, I choked.
You know what? My issues are? My issues are twofold. One, I totally believe he who created the game also created the rules. So that kind of tells us that the deck is stacked against us already. And that's one problem. And how do we undo something that's already wrong from conception? I mean, to me, that's where the thought is. We know what all the problems are. We definitely know that. So it seems like the energy should be placed on the solutions. And like right. You're saying here on the show, people aren't aware, they don't believe, and it's unfortunate that they don't even understand, nor do they care, until they find themselves one bright morning in that same position.
Mm-hmm. You are absolutely right, because it's very hard to walk a mile in a man's shoes when you're looking at him from across the street watching your baseball game and there's no foreclosure sign on your home. But we need to get to the people that make the decisions, because I think the attitude we have. Oh, by the way, was I even allowed to speak? Did I just cut somebody off?
I was pretty much done with my point.
Okay.
But the
all
other
right.
thing
just,
I was trying
to
get
sure.
out there was how do we? It's not so much of educating the people, because you know on my other show I have a bad habit of calling people ignorant, but it's not so much we have the problem of educating the people. It's after that, you know, you got to get the balls and the courage to stand up and do something without having it be themselves or a family member that's going through the situation to understand that it is live and it's real and it's not going to stop. And the only way I see we actually getting some recourse on this, we have to really shame these people to the extent that they can't even face their mother for the fact that they're doing to these people, one. And then, two, there's got to be some other thing put in place where after they do this to a family and a homeowner, they got to totally make that family whole. You know what I'm saying? They got to totally make them whole.
And you know what?
Because their credit is destroyed. They cannot buy another home. You know what I'm saying? And it not only affects that family, but, you know, it affects their kids. It affects everybody. So it's just not like just foreclosing their home and it's like, oh, that's over and done with.
Right.
No. The psychological damage.
No.
I mean, who pays for the psychological damage?
I have to get in here because I hear exactly what you're saying, and the point that a moment ago I was trying to interject in is that problems are not labeled problems until they affect other people. So the President of the United States, he can't hear these problems on a scale of one homeowner at a time. We need to get together. We need to put petitions together and get signatures together. And if we have to send him 500 emails from each person who's been foreclosed per day,
the
that's
average
what we
person
need
is
do.
Shamed yeah. to even talk about this. The average person, because how the banks dealt with them, they are ashamed to even discuss this because the bank has made this family feel like they're a failure, something that they did wrong. So that's part of the bank's power.
So how do we tell these people,
you need to start talking about this and step aside of the pride, because it's not just you, and this is a real problem, because I've heard it over and over and over again from multitudes of families experiencing this. Before they even talked to people about it, they were so far along, you know, in the process. Had they talked about it earlier, they could have probably went another route. They may have been able to find a Heidi. They may have been able to find.
Because one of the things that we did in the very beginning, we were extremely proactive, and I know not everybody is, but in our particular case, we saw what was coming down the pike. We knew what was being done was wrong, and we were angry, frankly. Well, I had to interview probably 50 attorneys to find one that even understood it, And then when we did find someone, it was still an uphill climb. We contacted the Attorney General. We contacted every news outlet that we knew to contact. I sent them 7-8-page letters describing what was going on repeatedly, not once, but just hammering them. Couldn't get people to listen. And you made a very good point, is that people, they feel ashamed. And you have to get to that point, what Heidi was saying, where you feel empowered. You realize you did not do anything wrong.
Correct. You did it all right.
You did exactly what the bank told you to do, and they actually corralled you, paddled you down into that stream, you know, with their own paddles to get you into that foreclosure situation. For us, actually, after we had asked for a modification, we never got a modification. We got a forbearance, and then they raised our payment by hundreds of dollars each month, and there was no way we could possibly pay it. And we never were offered any kind of making homes affordable or anything like that, even though, you know, we had letters from the bank stating that they wanted to help us do that kind of thing. And so it's the banks are thriving on people's ignorance and also what you said, their shame. And I think Heidi really made a very good point. We have got to get to a point where people rise up, and it's not just one or two. I see so many people that are just going, oh, the bank said they're going to foreclose, and we've got to get out. And I'm going, don't leave. Simple as that. We had to make a decision. Literally, we were set out at gunpoint and with our children, and it was hard. We knew what was coming. But we were not going to sit there and just say, we're going to comply with this. In fact, would it have made any difference, we would have allowed ourselves to be arrested. We were fortunate that we had occupied people there, and we were streaming the video. And so we wanted other people to see what they're doing to folks when you are in the right. And, you know, we've still had to, like you said, we've got people are educated, some of them, but even the ones that are educated still aren't standing up and doing anything. We could not get our neighbors to really come down. We had other Occupy people there, but their attitude was, well, this doesn't affect me, and you must have done something wrong. And that was still the attitude. It has since changed, but, you know, it's after the fact. And we've got to get it to a place where people, even that have not yet been affected, need to realize that they could be the next one affected. It does not matter if they're making their payments. It doesn't matter if they're behind. They can still get a foreclosure in place because of the illegalities the banks are doing right now. And I can name 3 or 4 cases that our previous attorney has right now of that exact situation. They've never missed a payment, and still they've lost their house to foreclosure. Now tell me how that's right.
And, Hope, can I interject for a moment on these loan modifications, because we've gotten to the point where we've gotten so comfortable with feeling that loan modification is a good thing. And I think we have to go back to understanding amortization to understand loan modification. If you a certain amount of money, that amount of money is a fixed amount. So if you owe $20,000 in back payment, the problem that you're going to end up with when they start talking about modification and things of that nature, the problem that you're going to end up with is when they remodify your amount and re-amortize it into the loan. That money has to go someplace. So what you end up normally doing is, like, for instance, people who file bankruptcy, and the bankruptcy Chapter 13 allows them a 5-year time period to repay what they are behind. Well, you take that $20,000 and you divide it over 60 months and you come up with approximately $350. That amount has to go someplace. So now if your mortgage payment was $1,500 a month and you were struggling to pay the $1,500 a month, now you have to add $350 to that. So the problem is growing. And it's the same thing with these loan modifications, in where homeowners are finding that after they modified the loan, the payment not only has not decreased, but it's actually increased. Because what a lot of homeowners don't realize is that these modifications oftentimes come with $60,000, $70,000 worth of fees by the time you finish. So when you look at documents, and I'm not speaking from what I believe, I'm speaking from going through it and knowing it. When you look at the documentation, after all is said and done, you could have ended up paying all of this money and have $50,000 added to your principal, and now your payment each month is $10 to $100 lower, and that's it. And now the principal amount on your house is now up to $50,000 more because the fees were added.
Right. Well, and you can take this a step further. When they securitized all of these loans, they removed the collateral. So in most cases, in all the securitization, where you've got these loans and they're saying, oh, this third-party guy can come in and foreclose on you, no, they can't. There's not even any collateral anymore because they've removed that in most cases. And this is what's so frustrating because people don't understand that the mortgage and the note have been separated. And in Michigan, of course, that's perfectly legal. They don't care about that. But still, we've got to stop allowing the laws being formed by the banks, and the people need to fight to make sure that those laws are in their favor. Even the laws that are in our favor currently need to be backed up. They need to be supported by the judges. And certainly, if the court systems know, these guys are voted in. If they know that they're being watched.
Well, my question, good people, is how do we wake these people up? How do we make people care? How do we do that?
You keep talking about the number one answer to the problem. You are talking about it. How do we make somebody care? People don't care until it affects them. So when people start to individually be pointed at, when the finger is directly at an individual, you can point at a bank all you want. I'm sure most of you are aware that in 2012, the five major banks were part of a national mortgage settlement in that they didn't even just have to pay a large amount of money because they were caught and the attorney generals had sued them and said, okay, you're wrongfully foreclosing houses, you're misapplying payments, you're doing all of these things, you're caught, we're going to sue you. Now, when the attorney general sued five major banks, to include Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase Bank, when they sued them and they had to pay, you would figure that those banks would straighten up. Are they going to straighten up to where we don't lose our homes anymore? No, it's got to go further.
Where did that money go that they sued them for? What did they do with that money?
You know, what they did with a large amount of the money is that people who were wrongfully foreclosed, or basically I think they probably did it for most people that were foreclosed in the period of 2009 to where they were finding these banks that had just defrauded people, willfully defrauded people, they were given checks. The problem is if you're referring to too little, too late, if you research, these checks were an average of $300 per household.
Right.
If you were in the military and you were foreclosed while you were on soil, completely in violation of you being in the military and serving your country, some of them were paid $125,000 per household. And there were other people that lost their home that were paid up to $15,000. But the majority of people were paid $300. That's too little. That's too late. Because $300 doesn't even begin to cut into what it does to you as a family. It mentally, financially destroys you. It devastates your credit. So then when they put you out,
yes,
it's not just like they're saying, okay, now you're out. But now your credit is destroyed, so exactly where are you going to go? And a person who's owned their home and owned the American dream, they're not interested in now all of a sudden just renting a property. That's not fair.
Paying a mortgage for somebody else now.
And let me throw something out to you. One of the things that you were talking about is how do we cure the problem? And I'm not sure that it can be cured with just one thing. I think what Heidi was talking about was making sure that people rise up and do something about it. Fighting for yourself, for one thing, is great. But I think part of this is going to happen if we fight one person at a time, and part of it is going to be having the masses get angry enough that they will be willing to write letters to their representatives. And I think those people are still put in there by votes. And I think when people realize that they've got enough pressure on them, it doesn't really matter if they've even been on the dole. You know, there's going to come a time where they do not want to look guilty. That one of the things we discussed up here in Michigan is, you know, once one of the or two of the judges go down, one or two of the attorneys go down, those guys are going to be squealing on each other because there's no honor among thieves. And I think when we start seeing some people prosecuted for the things that are going on, in our particular case, at the very end, we did not even realize this. We had paid $43,000 into escrow. We have a certain amount of evidence. I should say it this way. We don't know where that money went. And then we finally realized when we went to pick up our final eviction notice, there was no name on that eviction notice of any bank. It was the attorney's name for the bank. Now, we're sitting here scratching our heads going, So we went back to the courthouse and we said, you know, this paper never made it back to your file. Could you check again? And they said, nope, it's not in the file. Well, why isn't it in the file? I don't know. Well, are you going to investigate it? Well, we can look into it. No promises. And so we're sitting here looking at just a complacency of people that should be outraged. But you've got people that are covering for other people doing certain things that they shouldn't be doing, certainly illegal. And then you've got a whole mass of people out there that just have not been affected by it enough yet to care. And they need to recognize that they are, in very real way, their brother's keeper. They need to do something to say, I'm going to help my neighbor because he's my neighbor. And that's... You know, honestly, I don't have the answer to how to get those people to react and to act, but I think that's what needs to happen.
I think we're going to have to continue doing exactly what it is that we're doing on shows like this. We're going to have to keep getting the word out because people at some point, if it doesn't affect them today, it will affect them tomorrow, even though if it's not your home, it could be your parents' home. And if it's your parents' home, and they have to come to somebody, guess who they're going to have to come to? They're going to have to come to you. So you're still going to be affected. You know what I'm saying? So there's no way around it.
Throw one more thing out. And Heidi commented earlier on this and made a very good point that it does, and I think you said it too, is that it affects your credit. It makes it very difficult to go get another house. It affects pretty much every aspect of your life. And people don't realize the impact that it has, not only emotionally but financially, on a family when they go through something like this. For us, we had a sound studio and video production studio in our home. So when they evicted us, we had to put a bunch of things in storage and really were for weeks just wondering how are we going to, you know, earn an income, and we finally were able to, you know, put together a small studio again temporarily, but it's certainly not what we had, and it's made it very difficult. And I know a lot of people are in that situation where they work from home, and even without that, it totally changes your whole rationale and how you're responding to life. One of the things that is just having a permanent address. When you go in and apply for anything, you have to have a permanent address. And people don't even realize how much of a domino effect this has when just this one thing happens. I'm not certain that the banks don't already know that, but they don't care.
No.
We've been through the experience of saying, oh, okay, it's the banks, but I think we have to start taking the banks and making them smaller, because when you say a bank and you challenge Wells Fargo or Bank of America, as long as you're challenging the people who are sitting behind their desk under the term Bank of America, you are not doing anything to them because they're not affected. We need to start finding managers, we need to start finding the people who are consistent, whether they be judges that have a consistency, that they throw out lawsuits that are completely with merit. We need to go toward those people and then start sending their names up and saying, okay, somebody needs to look at this because this judge has a history to where it doesn't matter how strong the argument, it doesn't matter how much merit or what laws have been violated, they keep throwing out valid lawsuits. And then when the finger starts pointing toward a specific judge or a specific entity inside of a corporation, now all of a sudden you have accountability. When it gets to the point that somebody has to be held accountable, now all of a sudden I think that's when you're going to make your progress.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's absolutely right. Let me just take this time to throw out the number right quick for our listeners, the ones just sitting home and listening. If you have any questions, would like to join in, the call-in number is 646-929-2870. And you don't have to be afraid, because all of us has been through this one way or another. So if you got something you want to say or got some questions you want to ask, now is the time.
Let them call in and get therapy, because you know what? It is therapy. The speaker just mentioned that. The speaker just mentioned some things that even if you take away the financial devastation, it goes so much further than that. When you have that type of stress on top of you, it can destroy a marriage. It can destroy a relationship. It puts you to where there's so much tenseness inside your home that it's just difficult to function from day to day to day. Mm-hmm. So it goes much more deeper than just, okay, they took your home and people saying stop whining and going and getting another home. It leaves you so destroyed to where mm-hmm. there's not much left. You want a person to start rebuilding. Well, what are they going to start rebuilding with? Because now they've spent money on attorneys. They've paid mortgage payments. They've invested $20,000-$30,000 down when they first get the house. What do you want us to rebuild with? What are you leaving? And see, these banks are not caring. They're not looking at people as people, which is unbelievable. And I didn't ask if the speaker wouldn't mind me addressing him directly and asking him, were there any programs at the very end that you decided to partake of, Cash for Keys or any of the programs that do very little, but did you at least get some type of assistance at the end?
Matthew,
are you asking me,
Heidi? Yes, Matthew.
No, there wasn't. In fact, the way we were offered Cash for Keys at one point, and my wife answered the door. She's a very strong lady as well. She said, we're staying. We're not leaving. And, I mean, he goes, his answer was chilling. He goes, oh, you'll leave. I'm sitting here
right.
going.
And that's amazing. Wow.
Well, and Heidi, you made a very good point that I think you said just a couple of minutes ago. You were talking about all the things that people go through that most folks don't realize is accompanies us. And what we have difficulty doing is getting people to empathize. They can look at it from a reasonable, rational standpoint and say, this is something that, like you said, get on with your life. Just move on with your life. Well, first of all, you've been violated. It's almost like being raped emotionally. And people don't understand what it's like to go to bed each night and thinking is the day to day. You know, we chose to involve other people from Occupy, but we didn't have a strong presence in that area. And we appreciate the ones that could come. They were fantastic, and we still consider them some of our best friends. But on the same token, getting a person that has not been through this yet, it's very difficult to get them to empathize and see it, simply because, like you said, they haven't walked a mile in your moccasins yet, and so you're still sitting here going, ah, come on. You know, just listen to what we're sharing from our heart, and you will understand. But they listen with their heads and not their heart.
That's exactly what happens. And plus, people need to stop pointing the finger. You brought up a point earlier, and you said people figured, well, you must have done something wrong. And the reason mm-hmm. people have that mentality is because as a society, we're basically told if you do the right thing, then everything's okay. If you do the wrong thing, then that's when you run into problems. So we have the mentality of, well, something bad shouldn't be happening to you if you didn't start it, if you didn't instigate it or had a problem. If people would stand back and look at the numbers, in 2005, there over the entire United States, there were probably only 500,000 foreclosures, and it's a drastic number, 500,000. Wow, that's mm-hmm. a lot. But in 2010, got close to 3 million. Now, how does that happen? Are you telling me that the banks made mistakes in excess of 2.5 million people that didn't qualify for loans? What are you telling me went wrong that these numbers are skyrocketing? It can't just be that people are doing something wrong. We have to turn around and look at these banks and a person who is a homeowner. You have to get very intimate with your case. And I think a lot of people won't sit down and get intimate to the point where they'll go through their entire loan and they'll dig out the violations. They'll dig out the laws that were broken. Or the, even if they don't know the law, they'll say, wait a minute, this doesn't sound logically correct. Let me go see if this isn't against the law. Once you get intimate to the part of, we go back to empowerment, then it becomes, it's not my fault. So if it's not my fault, I can fight. The host said something that is still resonating inside of me. He said shame, and that is exactly how you feel. You feel shame because you feel and you know that even though you didn't do anything wrong, most people are going to look at you as if it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Very embarrassing, very shameful, but you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, and that's so true. And that's what we have experienced. We've seen it with other folks, is that even when you try to explain it, people are looking at you, but they're looking through you. They're listening to you, but they're evaluating you to see if you're really telling them the truth, because they can't really get their head around the fact that we live in a system that's this corrupt. And so you sit back and you literally, for us, I mean, I've showed people documentation. I went down walls, but I'm realizing, you know, this is something we are intimately acquainted with. We've lived it for several years. And now I'm talking to somebody else that's hearing this for the first time, and it's blowing their mind because they're trying to figure it out. How can we, you mean, you don't have the right to, or nor, you know, just have the right to appeal? Don't you just have the right to take it to the next higher court? Don't you have a right to a fair hearing? And, well, the law is the law. And then the big argument will come back. Well, you know, they don't want your house. And that's, I've heard that over and over again.
True.
And, yeah, it's not true. And what I've actually had a lot of business friends saying, well, they've got all this holding
costs. They must have never heard of claim jumping.
That's right. And, you know, when you look at the amount of money that is being spent to fight the homeowner to get them out of the house, and people don't realize in most cases, like in a Fannie Mae loan, they can go back, if they can evict that person, they can go back and collect the full amount of the original mortgage.
You hit it. You got it, and you need to say that 100 times during this radio show, and you need to say it 10,000 times, and we need to keep saying it until people understand, because that banks don't want your home is absolutely, I'll just bleep myself out rather than saying the curse words that I would like to say.
Yeah.
And if you look right now what they're doing, right now in a lot of areas, the housing market is rising in prices because there is low inventory. It's like anything else. It's supply and demand. So the banks have foreclosed millions and millions of homes. They're not releasing those homes back into the market to be purchased. So the very few amount of homes that are now there for other people to purchase are actually selling over the amount of listing price, because it becomes a bidding war. So when people say that banks don't want your home, you need to basically say the same, that an alcoholic doesn't want beer. You are
right.
Telling a big fat whopper, because that's exactly what they do want. And we need to start empowering people to know, guess what? They're going to go back and they're going to get the same amount of money because it was actually secured. And that's perfect, because why should I get $200,000 or whatever it is I'm going to get through some other resource when I can go back and I can get a $400,000 or $500,000, whatever it was?
That's right.
Okay, look,
That's right.
Another caller want to join in. Let me see who this might be.
Okay.
781, you're on live with Can a Player Play.
Hi, I'm not sure, did you put me live? This is Senka with Foreclosure Survivors Block Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, Senka. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Senka.
Hello. Hi, Matt. Hi. I recognize your voice. I apologize that I'm calling in late. I was on the road, and I didn't realize that I will be stuck in this traffic. I didn't take your studio number with me. So I'm happy that you are still going live on the program. And I just listening to the lady. I'm not sure who it is, but she's right on the point with all of this stuff. I just want to, when you mentioned Fannie Mae, I just want to let you know also, for people who are not aware of the fact that once they evict you, they are paying a guard $10,000 to $15,000 per month to guard a home, to just stop if somebody, as now there are some groups, like Occupy groups, that are organizing, if you are evicted, to go back into the house. So now they are paying like 10 to 15,000 per month. Instead of doing something good, instead of offering you either a settlement or a mortgage modification for people who would like to modify the loan, no, they don't want to do that. They want you out of the home. They want to steal your home. And they're doing it because they see that they can. And thanks to people like Matt and Lamont and all of you who are standing up and talking about this, you are my heroes.
Wow.
Oh, as your hours, because I know you're putting up a good fight always.
Absolutely.
I didn't hear that. what Cinca does. I missed that. Would somebody tell me, because she's very knowledgeable as well on
Cinca, would you identify yourself for our listeners?
Yes, sure. I'm just a homeowner from Massachusetts who got involved in this foreclosure fraud when I tried to do a mortgage modification with Bank of America back in 2009. And everything started then. I didn't realize that we are facing the biggest financial fraud this country and its people ever faced. But since Bank of America started sending into the black hole with their false statements, and every time I will call, I will get not only different rep, but they will tell me different story to the same question, I realized that something is terribly wrong. So I went online and I tried to find out, and then I got involved with many other people who were in the same situation. And I started blogging, but my blog was really small, and it wasn't that a huge of an impact. But the biggest impact that I had on my life in this is that I get involved with so many people from all around the country. And then I became active with my register of deeds, John O'Brien. He's from Essex County in Massachusetts. He was one of the first government officials, actually, to stand up and say no to the banks and to the MERS. So he did an audit on his county papers, and on his desk, in his office right now, there are over 40,000 robo-signed papers. And he contacted our Attorney General, Martha Coakley, and everybody who could have any impact and who can try and stop this. But as we all know, what happened, we had that like big national mortgage settlement with actually, I don't see any help to on the ground to the homeowners. And then I started like getting in touch with people, and people started sending me emails. And one of my friends came up with the idea that I can start Block Talk Radio last October 6th, actually, and I had 6 listeners. And we were just chatting, and we were all at one place at the same time, and we understood each other emotionally and mentally, and we realized that we are not a bunch of crazy people talking about nonsense. Yeah, because a lot of our family members and your friends, they're just look at you, and they probably think that you need some kind of mental help. So that's how I started my, it's called like Cinca Live Foreclosure for Block Talk Radio. And right now I have episodes sometimes twice per week, but almost every Sunday, and sometimes even more than Sunday, sometimes Saturdays, and depends of the situation. Sometimes people will call me who are facing eviction, and I will organize a Block Talk Radio in the middle of the week. So what I'm doing, I will invite a homeowner to share their foreclosure story with us. And since then, it started with homeowners only, but I had a lot of foreclosure fraud lawyers from all around the country. I had mortgage auditors. I had register of deeds. And I had all, I think, major players who are coming together to the same place to fight the same thing. And we are not a bunch of crazy people. We are not asking for the war. We are not asking for the revolution. We are asking for justice.
Can we stop and applaud this woman, because homeowner that go through foreclosure, people don't, and the speaker just said it earlier, people don't realize, they just realize the home losing the home. She's talking about something even deeper, losing your mind. Because
yes.
people get tired of hearing your story inside the family. People get tired of hearing your story that are your friends. But if you don't get your story out to where somebody can kind of understand what you're going through, you can lose more than your home. You can lose
mm-hmm.
your sanity. It is hard to just hang on to your sanity. It is hard to work when you go to work and you're thinking about, okay, what are they doing while I'm at work? You're financially devastated. You're thinking about, well, do I put money? The sad part should be that with our courts, it should be that if we know that we're not just trying to stall a legitimate foreclosure, it should be that we can pay an attorney to fight for us. Everything should come out okay. But we just went over that. How do you keep your sanity to where you can hang on when you know that even though you have a legitimate cause, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a positive outcome?
I think we need to start. We need to start the stack deck society, because it's almost like you keep saying, the deck is stacked against us. So we need to come together and form the stack deck society so we could go against that. Because I don't know, it just seems like it's corrupt from the top down to me. That's what it seems like to me. So how do we fight that? I mean, how do you fight corruption? I mean, do you do it like an apple? I mean, do you cut it out from the core? I mean, how do you do that? Because that's really what we're looking at.
You have to band together. We have to band together, and we have to band together with groups that have power. Attorney General Derek Schneiderman, he's going against these banks that have been already sued by the attorney generals once as part of the national mortgage settlement. And he's saying, you know what? You guys are hard-headed. You didn't learn your lesson because you're still doing the same old thing. So we need to jump on those bandwagons. I've made calls to Attorney Snyderman's office. I've made calls to anybody that is trying to do something about Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase. Anybody who's trying to do something, I've made calls and said, is there any room for one more homeowner? Because we've got to grow. If in little numbers, I go right back to civil rights. When did we finally break through? You know why we finally broke through? Because when there was one person who was being discriminated against and having a hard time, nobody was listening. What happened when we first start standing up and saying, I understand there's consequences, but there's consequences to injustice. So right now we go back in history and we say, who was the first woman who sat on that bus and said, you know what, I'm not giving up my seat today because my
exact
feet
point.
Are just as tired of the seat that your feet may be lighter and whiter, but even though my feet are darker, they are just as tired as your feet. So I'm not giving up the seat today. That's what we need to do. We need to band in groups and contact the people and say, look, we put you in office, but we're thinking about maybe we made a mistake because nothing is being done that were promises that were made. And the president, I definitely voted for the president, but you know what? Things need to go to him to be said, wait a minute, all these promises – Are you fulfilling these promises? Because too many people are still losing their home, and that's not right. So we need to do it as a group, and you keep saying it. What do? We have to get bigger, because when you're small, they're not going to listen to you. When you're getting
exactly.
I just want to share how I got my loan modification. I did get loan modification, and that's why when I spoke earlier, I want people to stop thinking that these loan modifications are the best thing since sliced bread, because they're not. And a lot of times they have little to no effect on the bottom line, which is the affordability of your monthly payment. But how I finally got mine is I kept being turned down. They would say, oh, resend your paper. They would say, we have it. We're considering it, and then the next 2 weeks it would be, we lost it, or it's too old, your signature. I finally one day said, that's enough. I called the corporate office to my bank, and I basically let them know, I'm just going to call you every 5 minutes, because until I get loan modification, I'll just keep calling you. Now, it sounds like the extreme, but I was at the extreme, because I had gone through almost a year in doing exactly what they said for them to just keep bouncing me around. I would have a person to speak to that they say, oh, we can only get to them by email, but we'll shoot them an email, and then the next week it would be a different person altogether, so I didn't know where I was at. Finally, they gave me a loan modification. Now, that was the good side. flip side of the coin was over $50,000 in fees. So mm-hmm. where are you at? Mm-hmm. And people really like to talk about them, but I don't talk against them because sometimes if you need a solution, sometimes you don't end up with the best solution. However, they are not as great and as helpful as people realize. And when we've got to start educating ourselves on looking at all of the options to see what option is best. And to catch ourselves, there's a small time period. When you're not in trouble, they won't help you at all. If you get over about a month behind in your payment, you're going to be too far gone because as soon as you start on that roller coaster ride, you can't get off.
Exactly. And I just want to say thank you so much for mentioning Civil Rights Movement. Because somebody, like a few weeks ago, one of our foreclosure fraud fighters from Arizona, she mentioned that on Facebook, she mentioned how this foreclosure fraud fight is actually almost the same as Civil Rights Movement. And some people got angry with that. But that's exactly how I feel. This is exactly what Rosa Parks did. She have had enough. She said, I'm not going to take it anymore, and I don't care for the consequences because I know that I did nothing wrong. And you did everything wrong. And if I end up in jail, let's be it. And that's how, and when Lamont asked, like, how to, what should we do, it's really hard. Like, all of us are doing this aside from our, like, regular life. I have my full-time job. I have my kids. I have elderly mom living with me. And I need to fulfill all these obligations before I have time to do this. But I'm doing it every single day. And we don't have money to organize. We don't have money to like my dream. I have a dream to be able to go around the country and do this Block Talk Radio live with my people that I talk every day with. But I don't have money for that. And banks know it. They know it that we are still the only small group of people, only small percentage that is talking and fighting this. But that's how everything started back. When you look back into the history, even with founding fathers, how many people, only a couple of them, got together and said, we are not going to take it anymore. So, and I don't know. I mean, during when we elect people, we think good people to go to represent us. However, as soon as they get to the office, the other more powerful people with money get to them through lobbying and everything.
Sinka, a friend of mine mm-hmm. told me something the other day that was kind of silly but simple and true. She said, usually when you meet someone, you're actually meeting that person's representative. And I think when mm-hmm. we elect people, we're actually electing the representative. Mm-hmm. And once they get mm-hmm. into office, then we find out who that real person is.
That's right.
And that's mm-hmm. when we find out if we really like that person or not. But nine times mm-hmm. out of ten, we dealt with that person's representative until he got in office, and then we get to really see who this guy really
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot, 99% of people will go with money more than with their conscience and more than that they are there for us. And I know when you look at the bigger picture and bigger, forward to the future, I think the main goal will be to change campaign laws like that, because if you have money, you will invest in your person to be elected, and then you will play with them like a whatever you want. So we have to change that. But what do we do today to help homeowners stay in their home? I don't know. I think that all of us should do what we're doing here, but we need. What I would like to see, I would like more investors to get to awake and to see that they were cheated for their money. And once we see that, I think that will be turning point. That will be turning point.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Sinka. Come on with that. That's what I'm talking about. We know what the problem is, and I don't want to empower these banks anymore by going on another 20 years with the problem. Let's start nailing solutions. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start finding some solution to this, because we can use that same brain power to do just what you did. Let's come up with some ideas and come together and make some shit happen.
And you know what? That shit happening is exactly what's going to help people on the smaller basis. If we get together like we got together when we marched on Washington, everybody knows, especially when you're of a regular income, what happens? The squeaky wheel gets the oil. If your tire is basically, the tread is getting a little bit rough on it, as long as it hasn't blown out, sometimes you just push it to the edge because it's still holding on. But what happens when the wheel starts squeaking? When people get together, if we would get together and a million of us would go down and march just like we marched on Washington before, and if we would march on there and hold signs up saying, we are tired of the bank's bullshit, you've caught them, but yet, why are they still stealing our homes? Then all of a sudden, the president realizes, okay, we probably need to address this, because if they were on our lawn today, will they be on the lawn tomorrow? And it makes people wake up and have an awareness, because they're going to feed what is on the plate right now. What do I have to deal with right now? And that's human nature. We need to get together and organize and say, you know what, we're tired of it. The banks got bailed out, and I heard Wells Fargo basically say, when someone was asking them, okay, well, you got your bailout money, and how many additional loans did you lend out? Or are you complying with the requirements of the bailout? Wells Fargo said directly, you know, that's not your business. That is a company decision. Excuse me, because your bill didn't go to you. Your bill came to me. So if your bill came to me, it is my business, because I bailed your butt out. The American people bailed your butt out. And
exactly.
Now we want to know, where is the money? Because when I bailed you out,
I think that was a mistake anyway. I think they should have gave the money to the people, or to the leaders of the community, so it could have actually helped the families and the people that really needed the money, instead of giving it back to the same people who caused the problem in the first place. But I guess I'm the wrong one to talk to, because I'm still mad at the president because the gas price is still too doggone high.
You just won't get off that. I think I listened to.
No, I ain't gonna get off that, because if you can't fix a little problem, don't tell me about you gonna fix a big one. I'm sorry.
And you're just tired. You're tired of the gas issue. And sadly, everybody knows that gas issue is a scam, because how can I go to? I went to Louisiana 1 year, and I believe gas in California was $2.80 a gallon. I went to Louisiana, and gas was $2.10, and they were complaining about that because it had been $1.75 a couple weeks before. So we're right. Wherever this gas, this oil is coming from, these people are absolutely full of it. The prices should be down.
I don't want to change the show. You know, I want to go back to Mr. Murray, but I'm just saying, I'm just a country boy.
I'm sorry, then don't get women started.
If you can't fix a little problem,
don't
tell
me
about you
don't
fix a big problem, because to me, you got to be.
Mr. Murray doesn't like the gas prices either.
You know, but my rule of thumb is, if you can't fix a little problem, don't tell me you're going to be able to fix a big one. Come on, you got to pass one before you can get to two. I'm just saying it's all relative to me. Everything going on in this country is relative. You know, we just got to attack the powers that be to the point that they get tired of us and start fixing some stuff so they can, you know, make us go away quietly into the night. But they have to correct some stuff, because why should they be able to go home and sleep and give their kids proper educations and the American dream, while they destroy other people's lives and families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, morally it's not right, and I don't know.
Exactly. Do you mind if I add something? Since I see that here on the call, and probably in your audience, we have movers and shakers, we have doers. There are people, like all of you here in the air right now, you are people who will do something. And let's do this. One of my guests today on my today's program was Robert Townsend. Matt Murray probably recognized his name, Tuna, by nickname. He's from Nevada. He's also a homeowner, but he's a great activist, and he's so knowledgeable about this fraud. So he just prepared, I think today, Facebook page, something about let's do I'm not sure about name of the page, but something, some action for November 5th, let's organize let's try to get together and do something. Let's set the date. What about, like, is it too early for November 5th to try to organize March on Washington in regards to mortgages? How many people we can get together? And again, it goes back to the money. How many, how can we reach?
You said it. Let's march. But the problem, I think, is this. When we look at money, we look at our bank accounts, and we realize that if there's not a negative in front of the digits, there's not very many digits there. However, even as a struggling homeowner right now, if I can't go, let me join with a million people, and let me give you guys $5 or $10, and let me send the people that can go. Because you will go as my representative, and maybe I can't afford a lot, but there's a whole lot of people that can't afford a lot, but we can afford a little, and if you add us all up, we can send you. That is an idea that would be
$5 from a million people adds up.
It adds up, and then you have all of a sudden a group that is basically saying, well, we got together this month and we did $5 million and we supported these people to go. Guess what? Maybe next month a different group will go, but maybe next month I'll have $10 in my budget that I can give
you. Yes, that's a great idea.
That would provide for you know, buses, you know, people, if you wanted, the organization want to, you know, maybe even retain a fleet of buses so, you know, people can go. I mean, with the money.
And it would be hotel rooms, and it would be, and the amazing thing is that something like that comes back and it touches everybody, because when you start having people say, that's it, I've had about enough, the reason that people get to where they're drastic is because, what else can you do to me? You've taken my money, it's destroyed my family, I'm almost losing my job because of the stress and not focusing on what else is there left. That's why you have the Rosa Parks, who basically say,
I don't want to be on Channel News because I'm pissed off at my old boss anyway.
Oh no! But I think that's a great idea, and I think we should definitely get together. I haven't heard from the gentleman who was here earlier. Is he still online with us? Because would you give up your $5 to send these people? Isn't that something that you would definitely agree to?
I'd go.
You go.
I've got to throw something out here. Every time they evict someone, they have just created at least one more activist. That's the thing that I've recognized in this. I was not an activist before. I am now. I've went to all sorts of protests against Bank of America and stood there with my megaphone and shouted what they have done and what they are doing, and that people need to step up to the plate and do something about it themselves. And so, you know, I sit back and I'm going, the banks – and certainly our politicians, the judicial system, does not realize that they've created their own monster, because at least they've thrown out one family, the Murrays, but they've created four activists. Now think about that and multiply that times over many, and you've got a lot of folks that are going to be shouting from the rooftops the corruption that's going on, and are willing to stand up to their representatives until they see some change.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And when we go to Washington, we need to make sure that we have them enough money to where they can camp out on the lawn for several days, because if we go and we leave right away, then they may not get the picture. If we go and we stay and say, you know what, this represents the people that were wrongfully foreclosed last month, that don't have homes.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, we'll just sit here right on the grass. We'll just sit here on the grass, and then you do something that the president, I don't know if he did it, and Lamont, I don't know if you remember, but when the president got ready to come into office for the first term, I know in one of his speeches he had stated that he wanted to give people in foreclosure a break for 3 months, to where nothing could be foreclosed for 3 months. I believe he got into office, and I never heard anything I never heard anything else, but, you know, not being in foreclosure, I don't know if it happened or whatnot, but I'm
not
sure.
No, it never happened.
No, it never happened.
It never happened. Even the idea behind that, I think a couple of states were talking about that on the state level, and then I think because even if you do that type of, it's not like a regular foreclosure moratorium, even if you ask banks to stop foreclosing for a couple of months, they will still keep fees going up and up and up. And what I would like to see, what I can understand, first of all, how we as a country, as a citizens of this greatest country in the world, how can we stay silent and stay still, seeing out there all these settlements with the banks, AG settlements, DOJ settlements, and I don't know, all these like federal agencies are settling with the banks, so they are telling you, I'm not going to officially say that I did perpetrate a fraud, but I'm paying you out so that we stop talking about it. And still, the same government is letting these banks continue foreclosing and stealing homes via the same fraud that they are paying you money out there not to continue with criminal prosecutions. I just don't get it.
And you know what?
I don't care if it's not me. It's that the people got that attitude. I don't care if it's not me.
But it is them.
It is them. They are stealing. They're even people who are current on their mortgage, they are sending their mortgages to the black hole, and these banks are laughing. I mean, it is just people have to realize all of these, like, our cities and towns, our pension funds are being drained out because of mortgage-backed securities fraud.
Absolutely. And that's something we touched on a little bit earlier. Where's the collateral now that they've securitized all of these? How can they even foreclose on a home when literally all they really have left now is an unsecured loan? I'm not saying that unsecured loan does not exist, but how – you can't have it both ways. You can't make billions of dollars hand over fist and say, you know, that we have a right to do this and then put it over here, break all the laws, and then say, oh, yeah, we can still come back and foreclose too. We've already made all this money over here on securitization. It doesn't make any sense at all. And most of these banks have been paid 2 and 3 times already for our homes. I know in our particular case, the loan had to be sold before we even closed. I knew that it was sold to somebody else. I don't know who.
Yes.
And that is so standard because they transfer these houses to where they don't even, when they start losing track of them, they wonder why, but they transfer them to where before the ink can even dry on the paper for you signing your mortgage, it's already been transferred. You're absolutely right. And we do need to get together.
I want to take you one more step down the way. We've somehow got to get the media to pay attention because so far the media has painted people that are in foreclosure as a deadbeat, somebody that wasn't paying their bills, someone that was lazy. And that is not the case with almost every foreclosure victim. I'll use that word. And that's what angers me, is that we've got to get people that have a voice on board. And I love the alternative media, but why is not the mainstream media stepping up? And in my opinion, I think follow the money trail. I think
exactly. There's
so much money out there. And you look at why is it that now in our particular case, our eviction, or at least our foreclosure, was so egregious that our attorney spoke not once but twice before a Congress House subcommittee. What was the reaction? Very sympathetic. Oh, this shouldn't be allowed to go on. What was their action? Nothing. Nothing happened. Nothing was done. And I said back here, and I'm going, okay, I'm getting lip service from people. They tell me that they care, but they're doing nothing. Well, why are they doing nothing? In my opinion, if you follow the money trail, they either are getting some kind of reward or they're being threatened. It's got to be one of the two. because why are our congressmen, our senators, our national leaders, our president even, not standing up? I mean, I'm hearing lip service. And
because we're not on the lawn.
Yeah.
I keep seeing this big word jump up in my mind, and that word is greed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Greed. Yeah. You know, this country, that little dirty word greed permeates through this whole thing.
Yep.
And can I say something else?
Right.
Also, Lamont, I just read the book All the Devils Are Here, and it's about history about mortgage-backed securities, about all this mortgage securitization, and about like how Wall Street and government perpetrated all of this. And it's everything started. I don't really believe in conspiracy theories and on a big scheme. I think, as I read the book, everything started like step by step, and greed and lack of oversight and greed. And then when they saw that one investment bank was doing so well with all these subprime mortgages and everything, and that nothing was being done to stop them, and then they see their profits, next company in line did the same thing, and then next and next and next, and they stopped caring about about people, about customers. They just continue to care about profit and greed and competition between each other. They had these wild parties, they had these wild like bonuses, and they wanted to have every quarter to increase bonuses. They didn't care about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't realize one thing. It's not only that they cheated us, they cheated investors, they cheated their country. I'm so afraid that if something's not done soon, they can bring this country down. The economy will go down because of this. It's not only our economy. Like one of my investors in my mortgage is a French corporation. They sold these, as I call them, BS securities, not mortgage-backed securities. They sold it all around the world. So they are bringing the world economy down with their fraud, and it has to stop. It has to be prosecuted in order for us to have clean future for our children.
Well, I need to send in my $5. You need to send in yours. We need to send people to say we've had enough, because that's when they start looking around. If you remember when the gas prices in California, well, I don't know where everyone's at over the United States that's on the call, but in California, when the gas prices threatened to get close to $5, that they were $4.80, and it threatened to get to $5. And what was organized is okay, that's it. We're not buying gas today. We'll buy enough to put in our cars. All of a sudden, the greed kicked in and said, okay, well, these people are really pissed off, and it's not because they cared about us. They cared about if they stop buying gas like that for a couple more days in a row, we're going to take a loss. So now we have to do something about it. We have to go right back there. We have to go out. We have to come out in the massive numbers. It's just like when people it's just like when Hispanic people came out and said, guess what? What do you mean you're going to do all these things to us? And I'm not even commenting on that issue, and I'm not trying to bring it up or change the issue topic that we're talking about right now. However, the impact, does anybody remember that? The day that they came out to where you could not drive, the streets were blocked. There were so many people who had said, whatever it is you're doing, I am not interested in you doing it because it affects me. The impact was huge. The mental picture of saying, if you don't do something about what you're trying to do, you're not going to be able to drive in the streets. There were so many people. I think we have to go back and do the same thing. I personally have a project that I'm working on that it's moving slowly, but I'm hoping that it will help a lot of people. And these projects, whatever it is, whoever is willing to do it, I want in. I want in as a homeowner. I want in as an American. I want in to see that things change, because that's what we need is
right.
Change. The president promised it. People have been promising it. But the only change we're seeing is that our dollars are changing into quarters, trying to fight these banks that are trying to do nothing but steal.
Exactly.
So we come together. We agree that we're gonna put together a situation where we could lobby for funds in order to send people to storm Washington.
Absolutely. That's exactly where we need to go back to the 60s. We need to go right back to the 60s and say, look, enough is enough. You guys have gotten out of hand. And if we have to do it on one bank at a time or on one issue at a time, we have to do it to where they realize. We need to get a million people together. There's a million people who have lost their home or are in foreclosure. We need to do a mass telethon to where everybody gives $5. We get 5 million people, and we get 100,000 people to go sit and camp out on the lawn until they do something. Not until the next day, until they do something. You know, put them up in hotels, and the next day let them come right back and say, no, you guys aren't changing anything. You guys aren't fixing anything. We'll stay here. I definitely would like to see
something put in place with some retro effect to the people that's already been damaged to date. At least do something to put them at least where they'll have a fight chance, or at least make them whole, you know. People need help doing better. They don't need no help doing bad, and I don't think that's what we're supposed to be about as people.
No, I think the thing was, I can do bad all by myself.
You made a point earlier, and that was that this can't be for one or two days. It reminded me of what we did with our Occupy on our home. And the whole idea was that, in fact, we had so much going at the time that we were occupying. We had people making phone calls to Bank of America, so much so that Bank of America's attorney called our attorney and said, the Murrays have become a PR nightmare for our bank because they're getting 30 to 40 calls an hour. But what they knew is what we all knew. Eventually, you can't do this forever. And
right.
So what they did was they waited it out. And I think that's where longevity is going to have to play a big part of this, where people go and they, whether they, you know, change teams or however it ends up being, you know.
Okay, so let me throw this one out there too. But then it all comes back that same thing, just like you said, they waited out. So another way of saying that is big money take little money. So now, how do we empower ourselves financially to be able to afford not to allow them to wait it out? Because we know that's one of their tactics. True.
Right.
Because water runs downstream. So when you get the people there and they're camping out on the lawn, Washington can't wait it out. Washington can't wait
right.
it out if the people can camp there a week. And it takes a little bit from a lot of people. It doesn't take a lot from a little bit of people. We need to do it as saying, we are in this one to where you're not going to wait us out. Because at this point, how many people can no longer stay? And the people that you're talking about that are in a situation right now, they need help now. They can't. It's hard to hang on. You know, I'm sure the I never catch his name, but I'm sure that gentleman understands. One of the saddest parts about being in foreclosure and having an attorney and fighting is that you feel like you are hanging on. You feel like you're at the edge of the cliff, and at first you have two hands holding on real strong, and now you're down to a couple fingers, and it's that hanging on feeling. He mentioned it. Is today going to be the day that my last finger leaves off the cliff? So whatever we do, however we organize, we need to do it now, not yesterday. We need to do it now. Get it done. And one of the favorite sayings that I have that was, I don't know who quoted it, but I love it. Never be afraid to go out on a limb because that's where you're going to find all the fruit. We got to go out on a limb, and we have to do it in massive, massive amounts because that's when the fruit's going to come back to us, that we can help these families who have been touched by wrongful foreclosures, and we can tell these banks we're not little anymore. It's not just the Hines family or the Miller family. It's us as a group.
Well, you know, I agree with that, and I think even to take a step further, you're going to have to really zero in on who you're protesting. because it's one of these things where, you know, we've sent people to the protest the DOJ, and we've had people obviously arrested, grannies arrested, which, how ridiculous is that? But, you know, I think the people, you said it earlier, individuals are going to have to be targeted to hold, be held accountable. And I'm not saying threaten them. I'm saying let them know we're serious enough that they are the ones that have the power to change the decision on this and make a difference, and they need to do it. They've been entrusted to protect the citizens of America, and they need to be doing their job.
Exactly.
Well, and you guys are ready. I'm ready.
I just want to say, again, going back to how to organize that huge march that can have an impact, I'm not sure yet. I really think that more and more people have to lose their homes in order to reach to that tipping point. And I used to say we are in some kind of a war, and every war have its victims. And once we have a certain amount of victims, the rest of people will wake up and say, I'm not going to wait for me to get into the same situation. And then
right.
The second, maybe more important point is we're trying not to have a leader, and we don't need a leader. We are all leaders in this. However, people, masses are waiting to be inspired. And what Martin Luther King did, it's amazing. I mean, if he wasn't there at that moment of time, it wouldn't be that big. So maybe we are waiting for that person to just go out and say, you know what, I'm on the streets, you have to join me or not, and we have to do this together. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure what I as a person can do more to get more people involved. And I'm just afraid. I know like a year ago, a really nice journalist from Atlanta, he flew over to Massachusetts, and he did an interview with Registered O'Brien and with myself, and then he did interviews with Paula Rush from Florida. She's, I think, forensic mortgage auditor. And we were so happy that somebody from the mainstream media came out, and he did great segment, and it's still on YouTube. However, since then, he just ran away. I tried to get him involved to continue to cover. No. Not any longer. So mainstream, we don't have mainstream media on our side, and it's really hard. Even if you have that march, nobody will know about it because media is still playing for the big players.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, you think he was paid? You think he was bought off?
No, I don't think that he, as a person, was bought off, but probably his boss or it is like, see, it is CBS Atlanta. So probably somebody told them, you have to stop this. Because no more interest, nothing after that segment.
You know, let me take that back to a smaller example of that. When we were coming up against eviction, we had a channel, and it was a mainstream news channel, it was an ABC affiliate, call us and say they want to do a story. And so we wait and we wait, they don't come, and we find out that it was killed. Well, later on, they called and ask us again if we would do it. We're sending somebody out this afternoon. We still had some Occupy people at the house that day. And so we did an interview. The guy thanked us. He said, I had no idea this stuff was going on. He goes, it'll be on tonight on the 6 and the 10 o'clock news. All of a sudden, we look at the 6 and 10 o'clock news, and it's not there. And so we call them back several days later, and we go, what's going on? And the one guy wouldn't even talk to me, so I had to talk to somebody else. And he said, Matt, he goes, let me do some investigating. He got back with me, and he said, all I can tell you is some very powerful people do not want your story to be heard.
That's the thing. That's the thing, because you know why? Because they will see if just people in Michigan, in your state, if they see your story, there's going to be thousands of people maybe think, that happened to me. Let me connect with Matt. Let's go in front of that TV station and talk to them about this. They don't want to get people together because they know people in government, and people in media, main players, not just a little journalist, main people in media, they are very well aware, maybe more than we are, how big this is. And mm-hmm. since they let it go for too long, since they didn't stop it when it was time to stop it, now they don't know what to do with this. Because this threat is so huge and people can get so angry if this is uncovered that they're just trying to still deny it or try to turn the other way. However, they cannot stop us from talking. And I can see, right. like I started on this like in 2010, and I cannot compare the amount of information, the amount of educated, self-educated people on this right now. And our numbers are growing. We are not going away. We are coming together. Mm-hmm. It is step by step. And for somebody who lost a home, like you, Matt, that you may say it's too late. But I mean, I know that you will not say, but somebody in your situation can say, it's already too late for me. However, I'm going back to that point. In every war, we have victims. And maybe I will lose my home tomorrow. I don't know, but I'm ready for it. And I'm not going to stop talking. I will talk even more if I can.
No, oh, I totally agree. Thank you.
I would like I said, I think it still need to be something put in place retro for mm-hmm. people that have cases such as Matt's to at least, if not totally make them whole, but to do something where it won't linger on into their future, where he can go out and get another home, where he can, you know, be able to provide for his family or something can be done, something like that. Because when you find that there's any wrongdoing, then to me it seemed like they need to do something to fix that. And it's all fine, well and good not to do it to the next family coming up, but what about the ones that you know I did it to?
Yeah,
that's right. And communities are trying, because in Northern California, they even had an organization that was getting together and the community was getting together, and they were stepping in to do something with wrongful foreclosures. They were getting together and trying to buy back some of these homes from people who have been
right.
wrongfully foreclosed.
Yeah, I read about that as well. But, and I guess one of the things that you said, Sanka, was just because it's after the fact, does that mean there's no urgency? I think there's more urgency. Mm-hmm. One of the things that this has done with our family is it's made us extremely passionate. And I think it was Heidi that said, you know, people get tired of hearing the story. They're tired of you talking about what the banks have done or the courts have done or whatever, and they don't want to hear it. But you've got to keep shouting it, because
yes.
if you don't, nothing gets done. And it is the
yes.
world that speaks the loudest. And I think, as I said, the urgency for me is even greater, because when I see somebody else going through this, I go, I can't sit by idly and watch them go through the hell we just went through. I can't bear it. I've got to do
exactly.
something to help them. And even if I can't stop it, at least I know that I did everything in my power to help stop it. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's where we've got to get that patience. into people's hearts and souls that care enough about their fellow man, even that have not went through this yet, to care enough to take action. And I think, you know, particularly being in the production area, I really believe that we've got to hit them with the heartstrings somehow. Too much knowledge without any emotion does not move hearts. And in my estimation, if you can grab people by the heart first, then they're going to start
mm-hmm.
listening to the facts.
Exactly.
But if you don't have them by the heart to begin with, they just go, man, I'm really sorry that happened. And they're on to, you know, the next meeting, the next lunch, and they've forgotten about it by 3 o'clock. But if you've made
yeah.
an impact on their heart somehow, and I'm not sure how to do that, I know that's why we produced a video. We used
mm-hmm.
a lot of emotion in that, because it grabs people and they stop to think for a little longer than 2 minutes. My goodness, I can't believe people are going through this kind of hell.
mm-hmm.
And they actually want to do something about it. And so I'm thinking not just from a standpoint of marching around Washington and everything, but I think that's fantastic. I think we need to do that. But we need to be doing many things that will make an impact. And go ahead, Wilmer.
I was just saying, I think it all comes together. I mean, the first idea that Heidi came up with is the organization to start bringing in funds to substantiate the move. That's the first thing. Once, and I think people from all over the country would donate to something like this once it's organized.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, you know, then you could take care of media, the videos. We could buy airtime. We could help get people to watch. I think all these things have to work in concert. I don't think any one of those things could be successful independently. I think they all have to work together to get the word out.
I definitely applaud that. It's not putting all your eggs in one basket. It is getting together. You back your idea. I'm hoping there's another show like this coming up soon, because I also have a project that I'm working on, which is directly concerning wrongful foreclosure, and I hope that there's another, you're doing another segment on this pretty soon to really get people.
Yeah. And you are welcome. You can get from Lamont, you can get my contact information, and let's talk about you being on my program, on my Block Talk.
Yeah, and please relay mine.
But I want to do too now, Senka, because while we're on that topic, I want you to throw your information out there in the email, and I want to give the listeners my email, which is lamont@worldmover.com, too, because I'm sure some of our listeners out there, either whether you're an investor or a supporter or a homeowner advocate, if you don't want to contact me, which I hope you do. If not, my associate Sinka's on the phone, as well as Heidi. Any one of us, Matthew as well, any one of us, you can contact us if you like our concept, our ideas about coming together and trying to make a difference. So that's what we're about here. You know, everybody know what the problem is, so we're not going to keep dwelling on the problem. We're going to dwell on the solutions from here forward.
That is,
instead of looking at the glass half empty, we're going to start looking at it half full. So with that, Senka, go ahead and throw your information out there, and then Heidi, and then Matthew, you can do the same.
Sure. My email is foreclosurefraud12@gmail.com. So foreclosurefraud12@gmail.com. And my Block Talk Radio is Senka Live Foreclosure Fraud Survivors. And also you can find me on Facebook. I have my program page, which is Senka Live. Or you can contact me through my personal page, which is open to the public, which is Senka, last name Huskic.
All right. Matthew, you want to throw yours out there? Are you good?
Sure.
Go ahead.
You can reach me at Matthew Murray, MattHewMurray, 777@yahoo.com. And I'm also on Facebook under Matt Murray. And so if you look for me there, you'll find me. And that'll be at Coldwater, Michigan. I think there's two or three Matt Murrays out there.
Yeah, well, I don't think two or three of them had your experience. So people,
yeah.
I'm sure it won't be hard to figure out which is the right one. But
I just want to say out there, I want to shout out to Matt and to his family, and I just hope that somebody out there will be able to provide a job for Matt. He's a great, great man, and he has a great family. He has two kids, and he probably said that at the beginning of the program, because I wasn't able to listen from the beginning, that he didn't only lose his home, he lost his business. He had a production studio. So I just hope that somebody out there will understand the situation that Matt is in. Matt is extremely positive. When you hear him talking, you will never come to the conclusion that he is in a really tough situation right now. So I just hope that there is something out there for our friend Matt.
Well, and let me throw out just a quick update to you, Senka, which is a good thing. We're staying right now, I've been able to set up a smaller studio. It's not what it was, but certainly we've been able to put contracts back together with people we've been working with over the years. And
that's great. I'm so happy for
them. Regained some of that. So it's been a very good thing. It's, it, as some of the musical orchestration things are still in storage somewhere. But we've been able to set back up studio, and the folks that we've been working with on contracts previously understood, and we've been able to start producing.
That's great.
Well, at some point in time, take a look at our company, worldmovement.com. You know, maybe there's something there for you to do as well. But definitely to our listeners, reach out to, you know, either one of us, because we are proactive and we are going to move forward with this. And I would normally say with you or without you, but we'd rather do it with you. Because you may not think it's going to happen to you, but you know what? The people that's going through it now didn't think it was going to happen to them either. So
yes.
Think about that.
Yes. Thank you
Thank you. I didn't get to leave my contact information. I would love to be contacted. As I said, I did go up against the National Bank. I do have a preliminary injunction against them, and I think I have a lot of valuable input that I could even just pass along to somebody else. And I would like to leave my email address.
Go ahead. The floor
which
is yours.
Holding on. Okay. It's going to be holdingon1234@gmail.com. That's holdingon1234@gmail.com.
I love your email.
you know, when I go in and log into it, I just have to look and remind myself to keep holding on and just to keep holding on just by faith, because sometimes that's what you get down to. But that was
That's the secret. That's the secret. Keep holding on.
That is the secret. You're right. Keep holding on. So I hope I get some contact, and I hope there's another show coming out. I have a project that I'm very passionate about that I want to help a lot of people with, that I'm hoping there's a show in the near future to actually share that and see if I can get some support or some inspiration in my project as well. And I'm open for anybody else, and would love to hear from anybody else who is holding on, or you know, you never know. You may have investors out there that are interested in doing something on a larger scale so that people can get moving.
Exactly.
In a positive direction to stop these banks.
And also, I just want to be concise with the purpose of us giving our emails out there. We don't need no crank people calling about no nonsense. I just had to say that, because some people just like to send emails because they ain't got nothing better to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're really trying to make a difference here, and you know, I mean, if you got $5 to donate to some funny looking woman a glass of beer or something, you got $5 to donate to helping the family save their home. Helping us change some laws that may impact you or your in-laws, and you know you don't want them to come live with you. So,
that's the best thing I ever heard of in the garden to foreclose. Maybe that will move some people to do something.
You know, that's probably the best incentive to keep it real. that is the best incentive right there. That goes with the. I'm just trying to keep it real.
You know, you want to stay in their own house.
And you won't see them. So that I like that one. You don't want people coming to live with you. So let
Look, I love you, but stay in your own house, because I don't need to hear you snoring. None of that.
Whatever motivates you, right?
Yeah.
I like the deck of stacked society, Lamont. I thought that was a great idea.
It is, and when I was trying to say a moment ago, when you have relatives that you don't like seeing too often, the easiest way to get rid of them is loan them some money, because after you loan them some money, they have no intentions of paying back the money, so they just don't come around. So I've always looked upon, you know, hey, just there are some people like that, and Lamont is 100% right. You don't want relatives coming for that extended visit, and when they call and say, you know, we're going to come by for a couple of days, you let them know, oh, that's great. You can stay the first two, but I was actually going on vacation on, you know, that third day. So, you know, I have rooms available for 2 days. That's it.
We just trying to ward off that, and we're very serious, you know. So, you know, don't ever think this can't happen to you, because it can. And what we're trying to do here is be proactive and make a difference, and not only to the people that are going through modification of difficulties with the banks today, but also for, you know, the injured warriors that they're dealing with the after effects now that can really go on, you know, for the rest of their lives. You know what I'm saying? So we're trying to fix all of that, and it starts right here. So if you can't kick in five, make it two, make it three. And then if you want to do 120, we won't be mad at you. You know?
Yes.
You know, and Lamont, let me just throw this out to you. For anybody that's been through this like we have, don't let this make you into a victim. Let it make you into a victor, because you really got to see it from a standpoint of it's got to challenge you to fight back and do something. And rather than letting it destroy your life, let it take the positive aspect of it and let it motivate you to help other people. And don't give up on your own home. We've got to keep fighting until these things are changed. And if they're not changed, then what good did any of it do? You know, we're just sitting around waiting for the next victim, and we don't want victims. We want victors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, Lamont, thank you so much. Thank you. I have to go, and I thank you so much for inviting me to be in the program. Please keep in touch, and we have to do something to move this idea forward about March in Washington.
And we shall, and we will, and we'll be in contact. And for anybody that's on the line right now, if you hear anything from anybody that's interested and have any idea or a contribution toward this cause, please let's communicate each other so we could have a plan.
Yes.
All
okay,
right.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Excellent show. Matt, you hang in there, and I definitely want to get an email from you. I would love to get an email from you and thank them both. And all right, thank you very much. Excellent
Sounds
show,
great.
And I want to make sure on my email in a week or so, or whenever you're doing another show, make sure I get my invite.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Everyone, enjoy your day, and make sure you try to, as hard as things get, stay too blessed to be stressed, because you know it is bad right now, especially with the things that they're doing. But I try to keep reminding myself I'm too blessed to be stressed.
I agree.
Absolutely. And the same for you. And thank you for joining us, Ms. Heidi. We're down to 8 less minutes into the show. Matthew Murray, it's definitely been a pleasure. And we're definitely going to stay
Likewise.
In touch. And we're going to find a way, you know, because we're going to find a way. And I always like to say, win is win and lose is lose. So once you made up your mind that you're a winner, you know, you have no option. You know,
that's right. Absolutely.
There's no option but to win. So,
well, I so much appreciate the opportunity to be on today and enjoy sharing with you, and certainly hearing the other contributors. It was excellent, and very much appreciate being on.
Appreciate it.
Half the battle is realizing that you're not alone. And so this was more like a therapy. Personally, for me, it was more like a therapy session to let go and have somebody who's interested in listening.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up like therapy. And you need therapy when you're in a situation like this, because you need somebody to care.
And we're going to keep it going. And we're definitely going to keep it going. And plus, like, after we finish with this show, it will be in an archive. And you guys, please feel free to share the show, send it out via your email, your blogs, to your listeners, or however you send links to your people, so other people get to hear the show and benefit from some of the jewels that were dropped today, and hopefully it can help them too.
Absolutely.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the word out. So definitely share it any way you know how. You know, if you have to send up a smoke signal, but most people know how to email today.
I'll send up a smoke signal.
Yeah, the main thing is, hey, look, get it done. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I'm a success-oriented individual, you know. How we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
So
and
again,
you are,
like,
I think.
Go ahead, Heidi.
I was just going to say very, very inspirational that you would take the time and focus on an issue that is very, very much needed for a lot of people.
Hey, I feel like, shoot, I got one foot on the ice cube and another foot on the banana peel. I understand. I understand. I know what country we live in. Come on. Just because it's not me today won't mean it won't be me tomorrow. Shoot, I'm looking out for the future. You heard? I'm with y'all. I'm trying to fix stuff before it happened to me.
You're being proactive. You want to make sure that on the road, if anything comes up, that you're protected, and it's really what people are going to have to do because they're not stopping.
Shoot, you thought I was playing? I don't want y'all to come live with me. I want y'all to stay in y'all own house.
Let's get some things going because a lot of us are on that pill with you. So let's get some things going right now so that we can get some action on what's happening.
Yeah,
well, just be sure you have a strong will to grab a hold of when you start falling.
Shoot, man. Look, I'm trying to help everybody fix this because I want everybody to stay in their own house because I sleepwalk.
And it is, and I hope that the homeowner here, I mean, I can't see how much it would do, but I will send up some powerful prayers because I know, especially, you know, it's hard enough when you're fighting something and it's just, it happened. But when it is wrong, when they are wrongfully doing
mm-hmm.
it just feels bizarre in your mind. Why am I fighting this? Why can't anyone else see? And when I tried to get help for so long before I finally had to go to court by myself without an attorney, I just couldn't understand if anyone needed glasses or what the problem was, that they couldn't see what was black and white. That is very, very hard to mentally accept. You're looking at something and saying, do you not see this? You feel almost like you're in the twilight zone. Everybody is in this twilight zone to where they're not seeing what you're seeing. And I'm sure like when the judge said, you know, oh, we kind of do see what you mean, but, you know, we don't think it's necessary to correct it. Or how do you deal with that? That has to have been devastating. And I've had incidences where I've said, you know, did that just really happen? That is devastating to a person.
Well, you know, Heidi, we had to take the approach that there was a reason. And, you know, we wouldn't be involved in this as strong as we are had we not went through it ourselves. And so, you know, I always look at it that there is a purpose and reason. And, you know, we definitely know we've got somebody bigger than us watching out for us. And so we sit back and we look at this and we go, how many people can we help and how can we make the situation better? And if you stop being self-centered and look at it from, oh, look what everybody's done to me, and turn it outward to say, how can I help somebody else, then I think you're on to some success.
Right. And let me just say one thing that I think a lot of people forget, because I'm a person who stands by their faith, and I stand very
mm-hmm.
strong in my faith. And I go back to where it said that God said, you know, you can take this little mustard seed. If you have that much faith, you can tell the mountain to move.
The mountain has to move.
But what people forget is this, and I just want to mention it really, really quick. The next verse said, but faith without works is dead. And everybody left that off and they just
yes,
say, okay, we just have to have faith. No, he said faith without works is dead. So he was letting you know it's not just faith. You got to work.
You
got to believe that
action.
You have to work.
Put it in action. I totally agree. And you will always act upon what your faith is believing and what your conviction is. And if you don't believe that you can make a change, you're not going to do anything about it. But if you do, you're going to move in the right direction.
I'm going to jump in right here because there's about 1 minute left, and this thing is going to kill us. So we're going to do, I guess we're going to continue this, Banking Bad in America, part four. So I will definitely let you guys notify.
Excellent show is all I want to say.
Yeah, thank you, Mormont. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Yeah, old school. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, this ain't for everybody. Some of y'all need to hear this. I know you're in the trenches fighting, but check it out. I'm going to put it down like this so I can help the saints understand. Everything you're going through is all part of the master plan. Or what? You thought because you got saved everything was going to be peaches and cream? You better wake up, son. Don't nothing come to a sleeper but a dream. Faith without works is dead. Read your Bible. You know what it says. He who don't work, don't eat. Slackers don't get fed. Huh? Yeah. Jesus said, he who puts his hands to the plow looks back the same ain't fit. Some of y'all ain't been in the trenches 5 minutes and you're about ready to quit. I ain't mad at you. I'm just hitting you with the real. If you died for me, I was still tripping. Now how you think that make you feel? Check this out. Deep game. This here's deep. Some of y'all ain't saw nothing but your study trying to reach. But unto him who's able to possess your fathers by his glory. Struggles might be part of your testimony, but it ain't the end of the story. Now the point is since it was prophesied way back in the day. Choir, sing your hook right here and see if the church can relate.
I know we can make it.
You say, why you? But your church say, what would Jesus do? Why you asking if he ain't trying to do what he's saying? Huh? He told you he was going to have tribulations, but you thought he was playing. Huh? 1 minute you tell her how good God is and can't nobody beat the talk. The next minute you're backsliding so fast, I'm like you're moonwalking. Huh? Oh yeah, I'm preaching to myself because I ain't no better. It ain't like I've been following his every word, obeying it to the letter. But we soldiers, we got to remember that. Regroup, stay on point. Huh? Yeah, bow down, confess, repent, stay humble, let him anoint. Huh? It ain't easy as I thought it was. I'd be lying if I told you that. But it's showing up getting better all the time. Trust me, that's the fact. Ain't nothing we going through that can't be handled. God put that on his tongue. Like they say, you can shout now if you want to, because the battle's already won. So while you're going through the valley, don't even trip. You're going to be on top. Quiet, send the hook line one more again. This time you don't stop.
I know we can make it.
We can make it.
Yes, he can. If you let him, I know good and well he can work it out.